With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right. We are back with a very exciting episode of Kiddish Street Noise.
Yeah. There'll be no, well, we can't promise there'll be no mourning this week, but there'll be a lot less.
We're very limited mourning. Negativity this week.
Very limited.
Very good week for Platinum Rovers, not just the away win in the league at QPR, but a fantastic night at the King Power Stadium on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't it? I think, I don't know why, you were definitely the best away day that I've been on.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be up there. I think I said after the game, best away end I've been in by a long, long way. Mm. It were absolutely bouncing. But yeah, we'll go into that. So, as we usually do, we'll do it. What's the word I'm thinking of? Chronological order. We won't start with choosing out. We'll start with Saturday's away win at QPR. I watched it. I thought we played very well. I was quite confident going into the game just because of the run that they've been on.
Yeah,
I know they had the new manager bounce, and it's usually affected Rovers over the years. But I just felt we had enough with the form that we're in and the form that they're in as well. I just felt like we had enough to get over the line, and it's just good to see us not care about outside influences and just go and beat a team quite comfortably.
Yeah. I think when you look at the goals as well, like, I think the one word that comes to your mind when you look at the play and the build-up is fearless. You know, we looked like we were playing without fear. And, you know, we scored three goals. I know Gallagher's Gallagher's first goal is literally, like, hit him, really. Like, because of the deflection. All three goals, the build-up, you know, some really good football.
Yeah, and I think when you say fearless, I think the Smodic goal typifies that really. You got the winger and the fullback on the edge of the box, and then Travis inside the box, flicking it around to another midfielder, not a striker.
Unbelievable pass.
Yeah, I don't know where he's got that from.
Because we've been I think pretty much every Rovers fan has been saying it. We've definitely been saying it on here a few times that, you know, he's not the kind of player that. He's not that kind of midfielder, you know. He's not a creative type. He's more of an enforcer. He's more defensive.
I think Thomason has seen that in him though, whether that's been in training or in games, because he's the one that's been pushed further forward out of the midfield too. So it's obviously something that Thomason has seen, and we've seen it more and more often that he is winning the ball back high up and breaking the lines and pushing on. I think even for the second goal on Tuesday night, where Gallagher wins the ball back, usually, like in years gone, Travis would have sat on the halfway line just in case they won it back again and broke on us, but instead he's bombing up and down right wing to create a decoy run for Gallagher that drags Wout Fez, the centre back, across, so Gallagher can cut inside and opens up the space to rest the pitch. Whereas normally I think you'd see Gallagher run through and maybe one of the wingers join him, and then the attack kind of fizzles out because you're still playing 4-on-2. Whereas when you got your midfielders bombing on 1-0 up away at a Premier League team, it's buzzing to see. I absolutely love it. But yeah, there were some good performances on Saturday. Good for Gallagher to get his double. Smodic getting a goal as well. And I think Smodic's going to be an important player. I think he'll have been frustrated this year. Just he's had a couple of injuries. He's not really had a proper 10-game stretch in the first team, has he? He had his goal against Hull away, and we thought that'd be a team. And then he scored in the 3-0 win at home against Rotherham just after that. And you're thinking, right, he's going to be a mainstay for Essex team now. It's just been like, he's never really been consistently in there. But I think now he's actually showing his proper value to the team now.
Yeah, definitely. It's been really good recently. I think, we took that fearlessness and the confidence from the weekend into Tuesday night, and the one thing that struck me, and I think would have struck everyone, was how intense it was. Like it just felt like a constant. I think that, you know, for much of the first half and that first kind of 10-15 minutes in the second, it was like a constant barrage, weren't it? Every time you kind of like looked up, like Rovers were having a chance.
Yeah, but I did say in the podcast before that, like, Brendan Rodgers does like to play out from the back, and the centre backs they've got will make mistakes. I knew that Dolan and Smodic would get a chance. I knew we'd get a goal through one of them because, well, Fez is too laid back on the ball.
Yeah.
And then, was it Armata that gives it away for Dolan's goal? They're just, it's not that laid back, and I just don't think the ball playing centre backs that Brendan Rodgers wants to have. I think they're more physical defenders rather than the technical ball playing defenders he wants. And I didn't expect us to get so many chances by catching out like that. It was good to see. I think they might have given away one or two and then show up sharp, but they just, even at 2-0, they were still giving us chances. I think just after the second goal, Smodic goes through again. And
yeah, forces a really good save out of the keeper. Yeah.
Yeah, and it creeps past the post, and you just think, like, it's cliche, like, who's the Prem team here?
Yeah. I must admit, I was worried, despite how well we were playing, when Hedges put that really good chance past the post right after half time. I think you were still on concourse, weren't you? I was, yeah. sinking £17 a day.
I was still on the concourse, getting battered off Stewart. But yeah, back to the QPR game. Costello, another unreal performance from him, just keeps getting better and better. And I think if you played him in any position on pitch, you're probably our best player. The form he's on at the minute.
Yeah.
Just one player a month again today after the vote closed. It's time to get him tied down to a 5-year deal, surely.
Definitely. Yeah.
I don't. It's one of them. Would he sign it if he was offered? Because I know this happened with Niambi, that it got to this point where it wasn't that far off ending. And it almost feels like an insult when you've got, I mean, he's not been a key player over the years, but when you look how talented he is, and what I think a lot of his injuries in the past have come from not being 100% fit. Where, like, any little niggle will feel like, oh, I'm not 100%, yeah, I can't play, yeah, because, and I think Thomason's got his fitness sorted, got him, well, he looks ridiculously fit now. He's like bombing up and down wing, and I know these injuries keep coming back to him, but I think when you are 110% fit, the little niggles that sometimes make you go off, you can almost like play through them and still think, oh, I can push myself, where I don't think he had that in the past.
Yeah. Since the World Cup, he's been our best player, no doubt about it. And I think it'd be a huge boost, especially, you know, the accompanying with the recent, you know, good form we've been in. It'd be a huge boost if we can get him tied down to a new contract. And, you know, you hear all this talk from JDT, project, and a player of his quality, and don't forget versatility as well. You know, he could play him, if we haven't seen it yet, you know, this season. But a few people have alluded to him playing in the middle of the park, and to be honest, I don't see why we couldn't.
He could easily
explore
play
that.
If you wanted to play five at the back, he could play wing back, play right side of a centre back three, and play midfield, either whether that be deeper or further forward. He could probably play on the wings, he'd probably do a job for you up front. If he carries on playing the way he's playing, what worries me is that other teams will see he's only got 12 months left in his contract and probably try and test our resolve. And I know Thomason and Broughton have come in and said we need to be a sustainable club where that's selling on your talent. But I think that should be like you buy players in for cheap and sell them on, not a homegrown player that's probably one of your best players. Like, yeah. You don't mind it if you can, if it's easy to replace, but in this form, he's not. I mean, we've seen him push Britain out to left back. Like, Britain's cost us quite a bit in the sum, not quite a bit. It's all relative, in it, compared to youth academy players. It is a lot, but it's not. And Britain is a good player. I love him, but if it was someone replaceable, then yeah, you could understand moving it on for like a £5-10 million figure. But when it's a homegrown player who is loving his football at the minute, I think he loves being part of the team, and I think he's just missed out on that for the last 4 years, say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think to me the ideal thing to do, and this is easier said than done because the amount of interest, you know, Rankin Costello and those types of players generate with the performances, you know, the ideal thing to do is to develop, to keep developing those gems, to retain them, and then add to them when the window's open.
It's not just that, it's like the message it sends on to the lads who are in the academy now.
Yeah.
Or the lads who maybe dropped out the first team in the reserves and want to get back in. Like, there's always that option.
It instills a belief, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, you can still, if you work hard enough and if you prove yourself, JDT will give you that chance. And I think it's a good message to have. It's not like, oh, I've signed this player, so he's going to start no matter what. If you're willing to put in the effort and you're willing to get 100% fit and like devote everything to your performances, you will get back in the team and you will stay there if your performances are right. Yeah, but Costello's a must. Get him signed on for another day, and hopefully he will agree to that. But again, if he carries on playing the way he's playing, and if we don't go up this season, I can't see how one of the either relegated teams from the Prem or one of the promoted teams to the Prem don't sniff about him.
Yeah.
Surely he's in the Championship, he's probably one of the best fullbacks.
He's got to be on someone's radar, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
With how he's played.
Yeah. So yeah, moving on to the Leicester game. We'll start with the day out in general. So, Yates picked me up about 12 o'clock.
All 7 kick-off, 12 o'clock.
He was like, we're going to go Spitfire for one. I was like, Spitfire won't be open on Tuesday afternoon. It was. Spitfire was open.
Only person in there, like.
Only playing pool by myself, bouncing against wall with white ball. Then went to Chaffer for a couple, and then obviously met you at the Craven Effer, where we then got the coach at 4 o'clock, which I thought was a bit late, and it turned out
to be a bit late.
Yeah. I thought, because I remember it, I'm sure he said 3 o'clock set off initially, but then he changed it to 4, and I think it's obviously people that can't get there for 3.
Yeah,
more people must have been
working.
Yeah. More people must have been able to make it at 4 o'clock, and he's changed it. And I think we would have been fine if we didn't stop, like, just outside of Leicester.
Yeah, we stopped for a bit, didn't we, to do something.
Yeah.
Quick toilet break.
Yeah, toilet break for everyone. And then we got to Leicester, and then it was all commotion outside as well.
Yeah. That was a bit of a joke, really, weren't it? Like, I was expecting, like, you know, maybe like, call me a bit naive, like, because obviously they have to search everyone, but I was expecting, like, everyone to be
in the ground, like you'd be last one running to the turnstile.
So like we just like walk up and kind of get in, but there was like a queue of about 200 people.
There was like a person at the gate before you went to get searched who was checking tickets for some reason. Like, I'm going to travel 3.5 hours to Leicester without a ticket. And then the guy who searched
you, machine, like,
yeah, the guy who searched you asked to check your ticket. I was just like, what are you doing? And then actually getting to the turnstile, scanning it and going in, like, oh, surely your two jobs are redundant apart from the guy that's searching. You're like, what exactly are you searching for?
Yeah.
Like, you watched the Scottish Cup final the other day, and that guy had a cannon firing fireworks for 20 minutes, and you're getting searched at Leicester away in case your keys are a bit too sharp. But yeah, what an atmosphere. When the first goal went in, just absolute scenes.
Yeah, just bodies everywhere.
It's just the dream, innit? Like, to go...
Yeah.
I said on the way to the ground, like, all I want is a meaningful goal. It's all I want. If I get one goal to celebrate, that'll be enough. And because Yates was like, oh, what time are we going down for a pint? I said, we'll wait another 5 minutes because we're going to score before half time. He was like, no, we won't. I said, honestly, as soon as you score, we'll go down for a pint. And then literally 2 minutes later, Dolan bends it in, like falling all over everything. There were a couple of, this is my seat in the way end, which I thought was a bit weird because we were sat quite near the top. And usually that's where people like congregate around anyway. Yeah. This is my seat. Well, I'm standing upstairs anyway, so move and bore on. Went down at our time for a couple of pints. Did you go down at our time? No, I didn't. Got a sausage roll. They were mint. They were like that, massive girthy sausage rolls. Like not like Rovers, where it's like pastry and a bit.
Every time I see like a club selling sausage roll, I always think about that one we had at Hillsborough. It was grim.
It was
awful. I think I've described it before as a turd wrapped in pastry.
No, the ones at Leicester are very good. Very good. That's a decent bar on as well, to be fair. Like, you're in and out. And then came back up at half time, just in time for Smodic to score the second, put us 2-0 up. And that is literally a dream feeling. You think at 1-0 up, we'll just hold on, we'll be all right. And then to go second, to actually be comfortable and be on top. So every throw-in, every tackle, every free kick was being celebrated like a goal before it.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
So then Galli wins the tackle on halfway line and like everyone's cheering. And then it keeps the ball in, so we've still got possession. Everyone's like, oh my God, I've actually got possession. And he plays the ball in, it bounces, and just from where we were, you could tell it were going in as soon as he shot. Yeah. As soon as it passed the keeper, you knew it were in. And just, it's the best feeling in the world. If you could bottle that feeling and sell it, If you sold it for a penny a bottle, you'd be a billionaire because people would just be drinking it all the time.
It's just like pure euphoria, and it's just yes, this is class.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. My throat's still killing me now. Too old to be doing shit like that. falling over chairs and screaming and kissing strangers. Too old for shit like that. But yeah, what a dream. And then even if he scored the one to put us 3-0 up, where the keeper makes a good save, like squirms under his arse, did it, and just passed the post.
It would have been something else.
I just walked off me and I got on coach. Health and safety reasons. It was just getting ridiculous at that point.
Just getting silly. I'm raining lads, like.
And then Leicester go on to get a goal back. Did an actual start? No, he didn't start.
He came off the bench.
And I mean, he's a bagsman. We know how good Iheanacho is. And he always seems to score in FA Cup. And
yeah, he loves FA Cup, doesn't he?
I think when the ball came across and Britain decides to cover the centre rather than go out and close Barnes down, I think we knew then that it was going to be a good chance. It worked.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he puts it in the back of the net. And
it was one of those in the build-up you worried. You were like, oh, this could be a moment.
Yeah, this could be the one.
And it was like, oh, shit.
And then there were a couple of minutes after that where they could have scored probably two or three times, really.
They had a few sighters from range, didn't they? And you were just like, a few that were flying past the post. And
there was one where Barnes drags it wide, and it looked like it were in from where we were. He cuts the left and drags it across the, just past the post to the right. But the one from Mendy on the edge of the box, where it flies past the top corner.
Did Britton from the corner, I think.
Yeah. And then like Travis is like on the line, and he just goes, just watching it past the post, I was like, oh my God.
It's one of those, you almost enjoy the few seconds after, like when Percy's like going to get the ball back at goal kick, as much as the goal.
Yeah. But you just think, the clock were going so slow. I'm sure I looked up at like 86:30, and then they had about four shots. I looked up again at like 87:10. I was like, well, that can't have just happened, could it? Like, something's going on here. And then the ball goes up for 6 minutes of added time that was just came out of nowhere, because we only made three subs, and I think they made five. Did they make all five?
I think they made a few, didn't they? I'm not sure if they made all five.
They made at least four, so you've only got 4 or 5 minutes there to get six. I don't think there were anyone down injured for a long time. No, Costello had a bit of a knock, but it went down for a long time. But yeah, the last 10 minutes, I just kicked every ball. I felt absolutely sick.
One of the best moments were Trav won that free kick with like a minute 30 seconds to go, whatever it were, and like honestly it sounded like the full time whistle.
But I know Yates, he had his phone out with the stopwatch counting up, and I think we're it an offside or a free kick at box, but it was like 5 minutes and 30 seconds. We're like, that's it.
Yeah.
We actually won. We've actually done it. And we're just watching Piers walk with ball like, no, don't kick it yet. Do not kick it yet. But yeah, what a feeling. That's a dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to win away is always good, but to win away at a Premier League side where you're not expecting anything. And then the full-time scenes where everyone coming over, and I just wish like the players would have stayed out longer. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I just want Thomason to take his top off and jump and growl. Just want him to look like he's enjoying it. So yeah, that put us into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup for the first time.
Since 2015.
It's been a long time coming.
It has, yeah. I think that's what has made it, like, you know, more special, really, because like under Mowbray we never really had anything like this, because we had a terrible record in the cup,
terrible attitude to the cup, I think.
And you know, this season we've won away at two Premier League sides. It's just brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're like memories that, like, for the people that are, yeah, they're like memories that will last a lifetime. It means a lot more to people than, like, even if we go on and get knocked out by Sheffield United or whatever happens in the next round, like, people will always remember that night at West Ham, they'll always remember that night at Leicester. And I think that was what a lot of managers, like, especially the managers in the Premier League, we've seen this season especially how many upsets there's been, and I don't think the managers realise how much it means to the fans for a good cup run, and to just be that excited for 90 minutes.
Yeah. Like, to me, it's like, it's almost like a part of, like, Rovers' identity that JDT is helping bring back. Because, like, to me, that's what Rovers have always been. We've always, like, tended to punch above our weight.
Yeah, the underdog, bloody noses, yeah. Giant killers, yeah. That has been us, and it's something we've been crying out for years.
Yeah.
And just to have it, this one... If nothing happens for the rest of the time JDT's here, he's done enough, it might. Like, we said at the start of the season, didn't we? As long as we stay up, a decent cup run.
If
we finish mid-table, a decent cup run, it'd be a brilliant season. And to be this, like, to do so well. Did we get to the quarterfinals at League Cup? Or the one before?
One before, weren't it?
Yeah. So to get through a couple of rounds in the League Cup, and then to get through to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, beating some big teams on the way, just... Not even the third round draw Norwich away, that's not an easy, it's never been an easy time for us. And obviously having the disappointment against Birmingham at home, to then go there on a 2 days notice and go and beat them, and then to go away and beat Leicester, and I know that they're struggling in the Premiership and they've made changes to try and help them in the game against Southampton at the weekend, but still they should have had enough quality in their team to beat us comfortably. But it just shows, like, the spirit of this team, and, like, I genuinely think we can achieve anything under JDT. Love him. I'll just stay forever.
I think, like, what he was saying, you know, is, like, you know, is that post-match media commitments as well. You know, stuff about how good the club's history is, and, you know, how good it is that the team's getting to write a new chapter in it, and all this. Like, it's just saying all the right, you know, stuff that makes you, like, proud. You
Just want to get a Denmark flag tattooed on your head all the time.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's just brilliant.
Yeah, it is. So, before we go into the FA Cup draw, I just want to tell all our listeners and all our viewers about a GoFundMe we've got set up. So, a good friend of mine, Tom, his fiance was diagnosed with metastatic secondary bone cancer in September last year, at the age of 31. It's an incurable form of cancer. So in May this year, we're going to be climbing the Three Peaks to raise some money for Bone Cancer Research Trust. There's going to be 13 of us doing that. We're going to try and raise as much money as possible. The target at the minute on GoFundMe is set at £2,000. We've had a really good start so far. So if any of the listeners could help donate to a great cause, and yeah, we're just trying to raise as much awareness as possible for that. And obviously we wish Natalia and Tom all the best. But yeah, just wanted to let the listeners and all our followers know. I'll put the GoFundMe link in the YouTube description, the podcast description, and we'll share it on our Twitter page. But yeah, just whilst we're having that break in the podcast, I wanted to let everyone know about what we're doing in May and why we're doing it. So any donations you can make, really appreciate it. Thank you very much. So, FA Cup draw. Sheffield United away.
I tell you what, how bloody nerve-wracking it's a draw at this point. I'd forgotten me, because it's been like 8 years since we got to this point. But, yeah, 8 years, isn't it?
It is so like usually when you get to the third round, fourth round, you like you see like the massive list of teams down the left hand side. I get nervous, but I'm not like, oh my god. But literally, as soon as the Bulls came out and it came up the eight teams, I was literally like, oh my god, I think play any of them.
In the first like few rounds, it's more excitement because it literally could be anything.
Yeah,
like, especially with like the non-league teams that are in there often. But at this point, it's like, oh my god, this would be like when City came out first as well.
You're just hoping, like I was literally like, you're like at home Manchester City will play number 8, and I was like, yeah. And then United come out at home second, and you're just saying, oh my god, it just can't catch a break. And then when Brighton came out at home, I thought, you know what, it's not a bad away day. It's not, I don't think it's the most winnable tie, but
definitely not.
Yeah, and I was just hoping that they'd get Sheffield United, but obviously they get the Grimsby game. And then obviously it was just only us and Sheffield United left. And Sheffield United, I think it's winnable both home and away. I'd have much preferred it at home, but I think away is just as winnable as, I mean, it's probably more winnable than the game on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Both teams are under massive pressure. I think, I know Leicester are in pressure for more reasons, but Once we get to, it's like 3 weeks on Saturday. It's like the last week before international break, isn't it? Two weeks on Saturday,
yeah.
So, I mean, if we close the gap down this Saturday to 6 points, the pressure on them will be massive by the time it goes to that point. The only thing that worries me is that after that game, the international breaks, so they don't need to, they don't really need to rest anyone, do they? International break. I forgot all about them. I thought we were done for the season. I thought we were just playing.
You always moan at me for like moaning about international breaks because you always say, oh, it's only England fans that don't like them and all that.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I Rovers are flying at the minute. That's the last thing you want, isn't it? A 2 week break in between games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think Scotland got quite a. I'm sure we play Spain at home.
Who is it you always play? Like you're probably playing
San Marino.
No, Israel. You're definitely playing Israel.
Yeah, we're always playing Israel. I'll have a look now.
Play Israel in bloody home internationals.
Israel got their own house just outside of Glasgow. Come over and stay in a house. We got Cyprus at home on 25th of March. And then we got Cyprus bringing 8,000 to Hamden. And then we got Spain at home on the 28th, midweek game. I mean, that one sold out straight away. I think the Cyprus game still got about 40,000 tickets left. So yeah, the rest of the draw. It was just typical that City and United won't draw each other. They're desperate for that to be the final, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's a guarantee. I think now you should be able to draw out the semi-finals now, so that people know in advance.
Yeah.
You know, like Germany, like usually draw out from like the first round to the quarterfinals. In like if you play this, you'll play that, and it's like or.
Mm-hmm.
They should do semi-finals draw now, because I remember when we played Liverpool, did we not know that we were going to play Villa in a semi, or was that because it were a replay?
I think it. I think
we avoided City and Chelsea. Didn't
it
were we,
replay, and there was like a massive delay between the original game and the replay, weren't there? Because Liverpool
they had Champions League, didn't they?
Europe summit and. Rovers obviously Championship Saturday, Tuesday, and all that.
Because we played on the Tuesday, and if we'd have won, we'd have played Villa at Wembley on a Saturday.
Was it really that close?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. It was only like 3.5 days or something. I'm sure it was something silly like that. It wasn't like a 2 week or a three, like a normal gap.
I remember Dad saying it's meant to be, because at the time Villa were managed by Tim Sherwood, and it was like the 20th anniversary, Rose winning Premier League, and all this big like conspiracy.
It's like when have you not seen that TikTok of I can't think who it is. Basically, I had a former NFL player, and he said that NFL's scripted, and people like get a script at the start of the season, like what's going to happen. People reacted to it like someone who's got torn their ACL three times reading the script at the start of the season. It's like that Walking Dead meme where he's like, no. So yeah, City versus Burnley. That's literally, they might as well not might as well not televise the three games, because that's all that's going to be spoken about from now till the quarterfinal dates. Company going back to his former team. United versus Fulham, Lewis Sahar derby. Brighton versus Grimsby. It's not a disappointing draw for Grimsby. I just think it's a bit unfortunate, like having gone all the way down to Southampton, like a quarter final, you'd want a home tie, or at least United or City away, like a massive stadium.
Yeah,
like Brighton's a long, like they've just done a 10-hour trip midweek, 4,500 of them to see him beat Southampton. Now you're going to give him a 14-hour round trip on a Saturday.
I think at this point, though, they're just happy to be. They definitely won't be mourning about that.
They are doing well, though. I'm sure they're like, they got promoted from the conference last year. And
that mid table in League Two, I think. Someone said the 14th, I think.
And obviously, the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. It's like Lincoln all over again.
He got in a bit of hot water last night, though, because something they posted on Twitter, they posted, they used a Harvey Price meme, and like everyone was
saying,
like,
what?
Everyone was saying, like, it's offensive, and they apologised for it this morning. You know, the one where he's like, oh, what a day, that one.
What's offensive about that?
I don't know, because like, it was like the admin was like, you know, saying, you know, like, because like, it's like a massive win for them. He used that video like, oh, what a day. And like, everyone was saying it really offensive.
Like, I don't really know.
They apologised for it this morning on Twitter.
Yeah. So a Sheffield United game will be on the weekend of, I want to say the 21st. Is that right?
18th. Set the 18th for Sunday 19th.
No Friday games, is there? No Monday games.
Because United are playing the Europa League on Thursday, so they won't be on Friday or Saturday. So I imagine it would be two Saturday, two Sunday, really.
Yeah, so United be Europa League, so they'll be Sunday, definitely. A City Burnley going to be Sunday dinner? It's going to be Sunday dinner, Sunday afternoon, and then Saturday dinner, Saturday night, isn't it?
Well, it's unrealistic that City and United will be at home on the same day, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So,
City Burnley will be dinner time. Dinner time Saturday?
Nah. If dinner time or tea time Saturday, I think.
Because they're not going to do Grimsby Brighton now, dinner time or night time Saturday. You'd think. Because imagine saying I'm back to Grimsby at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, getting back for 7 a.m. Sunday morning, just in time for 11 aside at local park. I won't be surprised if they just didn't put us on telly. You can have a just standard 3 o'clock kickoff and no one wants to watch you.
To be honest, I'd take that.
Yeah.
Saturday 3 o'clock, can't beat it.
Yeah. I'd love a Saturday tea time there, though. Get early train. Right, so yeah, FA Cup quarterfinal, exciting times. Other club matters that have gone on. So the O'Brien case got resolved yesterday.
It did.
This morning.
Last night,
mate. Lost my bloody days, me.
Ed's gone since Tuesday night.
Oh, it has.
Fell off.
I'll finally come back around to Saturday and I'll know where I am again. So our appeal got rejected by the independent arbitrator, that what they're called.
Think so.
The judge, the panel, whatever they are.
The EFL.
They released the full document of like timings, didn't they? And like some of that, the paperwork was being submitted at like 25 past 11.
To me, the club made it sound like that it was like a slight mishap on maybe one or two documents. I'm looking at the timeline.
Lewis O'Brien passed the medical 10 past 11. Like, what? You've not done out then, have you?
You look at that and you're like, well, no wonder.
So there was one where it's like, I think it's like 11:15. And it's like, medical findings, acceptance, and Nottingham Forest and O'Brien agreement signed, sent at 11:10. And then in brackets, it was like, medical wasn't completed till 9:00. Well, why is that being sent at 11:10 then? Like, what have you been doing for 2 hours and 10 minutes? Finding a pen? You've been running on a treadmill for 45 minutes and not been able to sign a contract. It's what I need. They've obviously spent a lot of money to get these independent panels in and the solicitors to go through with him. But, I mean, looking at the evidence and the details of it, it looks like a massive waste of time and money to me.
Yeah.
When you see the amount of evidence of like the amount of submissions after the 11 PM deadline.
Yeah, if that timeline is accurate, which we have to trust it is because it's an independent panel and all that, then
it's an open and shut case.
It's, yeah. There was no case at all.
No.
You know, when Greg Broughton came out and did that interview saying, you know, he believed that there was like, what's the word? Justifiable,
yeah.
You know, reasons for the late submission of paperwork. And you look at that and you're like,
it reminds me of that show. Do you remember when you used to like, what was it called? Like the EasyJet program on ITV. It was probably before your time. I was only a kid when I used to watch it. But people used to like rock up, like the flight was like 12:10, and they'd rock up at like 12:03 with passport at desk, like,
like getting on bus or something.
Oh, your plane's gone, mate. What do you mean? I've got my kids here. I'm going on holiday. Like, no. That's what it reminds me of. It's like, it's not my fault. This is your fault. For me, it's a good job we beat Leicester because the prize money's going to pay for them solicitors and. But yeah, that's the only negative, really, this week's. So we've also got a £10 Reading offer.
Yeah.
Which is
a positive.
More positive steps in the right direction.
Rob's still.
It's not. I'm not as positive about it as a lot of people.
Skeptical, but disappointed.
Not disappointed. It's more that it's like, I don't really see it as an offer because he's not losing money. We all mean Waggett is not losing money by it. So like the Leicester offer. So obviously with what's the word?
Subsidised.
That's the word. So they subsidise the tickets £10. So it's costing £30,000. But you also get 50% of the revenue from every ticket in the ground. So they sold what 25,000 seats at £20 a ticket. So you get £25,000 back. So, yeah. Well, it's probably has cost them money, though, right?
Yeah. They've lost 5k, but what have you got in prize money? 200 for winning on.
Oh, no, am I being stupid? 25,000 tickets at £20 a ticket is 500,000.
£20 a ticket.
Yeah, it's £500,000. We've got 250 back for that. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've made £220,000 just off that offer.
Right.
So that's what I'm thinking. Like, how could we possibly have lost money? So like, that. So the Reading ticket offer is good for home fans. Brilliant. But I don't think Reading have sold 1,500 tickets to Ewood since we got relegated to the Championship in 2012. You could probably count on one hand how many they brought down to Ewood. So
when I think of Reading coming to Ewood, I always think of that game where they scored and they didn't celebrate for like 10 seconds. Do you remember that? I think it might have been the season we got relegated. But like, for some reason, I remember them scoring and like the players like running off into the corner and their fans just sat there and like, they didn't start celebrating for another 10 seconds.
I remember once where I think Rovers played Charlton at home. This is years ago because Paolo Di Canio were up front for Charlton. So I'm talking like 2004, 2005. And someone crosses it to back post. I think they were like 2-0 down at the time. And Di Canio slides in, kicks the keeper, but the ball goes in. But it doesn't hit the back of the net. It just it nestles in the side of the net without bulging anything, but Di Canio went down injured, and so did Friedel, so everyone just like bundled on the goal line, and whenever it blacked them, we're like, oh shit, it's a goal, like rest pointed, and all players ran over to Di Canio, and their fans are just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And like eventually the guy on the Tannoy row was like, goal scorer for Charlton and Paolo Di Canio, and all their fans were like, yeah, what an absolute treat. it's mad because I feel like when you're in the away end, you're always like noticing stuff like that. So you think, you can't wait to celebrate, can you? So any little thing that happens, you're up.
Yeah.
Like when Smodic scored his goal to make it 3-0 and the lines are on his flag up, I'm like, still bouncing around, like, he's offside.
Yeah.
He's offside. Like, you just can't wait for an excuse to celebrate. But yeah, Reading, it's just. It's good for fans. Obviously, it's midweek, so it's going to entice some fans down. I can't see many walk-ons midweek. It's going to be on Sky Red Button.
I think a lot, you know, depends on what happens between now and then as well. Obviously, we've got two, you know, big games. Sheffield United at home, obviously on Saturday, and then Stoke away, which is Friday night on Sky. So.
Yeah.
You know, if that's another two wins, then surely you got to think at least a few thousand. You know, I think it's a really good thing that the club's doing at a good time as well. Obviously, it's like 10 games to go. You know, we're moving towards the running now. We've got this final five that was that yesterday they came out with.
Yeah.
Final five, which is like a good thing as well, I suppose, because I mean there's a way of paying for, well, not paying for Burnley because you're paying 100 quid, but you know you don't have to. It's a way around of, you know, people paying for Burnley tickets and getting.
I mean, it is an offer. It is an offer, but is it an offer? £100 for five games is not an offer. It's 20 quid a ticket, which is what it should be anyway. But yeah, it's a start. Let's call it what it is. It's a start, and that brings me on to a new thing as well. That Burnley at home will be played on a new date.
Yeah,
it will no longer be March 19th, a Sunday.
Everyone's looking at, is it Tuesday the 25th and Wednesday the 26th of April?
Yeah,
so there are two possible dates. Which will be the next game after our FA Cup semi-final. Hey, come on!
On our way back from Wembley, we'll be getting ready for the Burnley game on the following Tuesday night. So apparently it's been leaked on Twitter. I just saw it on the way out before we came here, that it's already been decided at Tuesday the 25th of April.
Right.
It's going to be a 7 o'clock kickoff, and apparently there's going to be 2,000 Burnley fans in a lower tier of the Darwin end, so I think they'll get the full upper tier, but they'll only get 2,000 in the bottom tier. So I think that'll equate out at like 5,000 at the most. But I don't understand how that affects, because it won't be a bubble game, because they're not allowed to do it anymore. So I don't know understand how just like restricting the bottom tier is going to help any of the problems it's going to cause. Because I mean, they could be champions by then. We could be still fighting for promotion with Sheffield United, or fighting to get in the playoffs, one or the other. So it's going to be a massive game no matter what.
Yeah.
Obviously, the way they're going and the way they're playing at the minute, it's very unlikely that they're going to be battling for anything by the time it gets to that point. They'll probably sign, seal and deliver, and be coming to Ewood. They're not going to come quietly, are they? No. Let's be honest, they're going to come.
The thing is, in midweek, and if you're not going to make it bubble travel, where do you kind of like, how do you control it? Do you know what I mean? Because like Burnley fans will get on train at like dinner time,
yeah,
and be in Blackburn Town Centre all day. Yeah. How do you stop that?
The only way I can think of like doing it would be to have a designated away pub and all the trains from Burnley going from Burnley straight through to, see, I will say straight through to Mill Hill, but that just causes 100 times more problems than it.
Even more helpful.
Maybe if you did it to See, it's weird. This is the problem with, like, not having no airport near a train station, because you can't pen them in anywhere, can you? Maybe if you, like, did it to Millill and just police escorted him down to Furness and just literally locked him in there. That's the only, like, locked him on the car. Like, if you said, like, to all the pubs in Blackburn, like, there's no Burnley fans getting in here, the only place that will serve you is the Furness pub outside Ewood. And you could just, because obviously it's going to be warm by that time. Yeah, don't say that, it should be warm. As long as it's not raining.
Northwest of England.
I know, yeah. It'll be warm for us. But you could literally just cordon off the car park of Furness, because that's where, like, just don't let anyone park there. Just let the car park, let them just spill out onto the car park and just let them drink there and let them do what they want all day. What you don't want them to do is, like, restricting them from some places, them walking about and going from place to place. It's just be like, just going to cause absolute havoc.
Yeah.
So if you could pen them in the Furness and then, I don't know, say to all Rovers fans that you can't approach from that side of Blackburn. I don't know how you'd do it, because obviously I come that way to you in every game, so. The thing is, Furness would be a good option, but then how do you stop people walking past the ground and then people getting caught in the shite that'll happen outside?
Yeah,
it's
going to be interesting.
It's not the ideal scenario, but I'd rather be in FA Cup quarter final and have to play them every week than not be in the FA Cup quarter final and playing on a Saturday.
And to be honest, just to have that delay, so it kind of rules out any chance of them getting promoted at Ewood. Because I think they'll be champions by then, won't they? Unfortunately, but
it's bound to happen. They just score it last minute every week. Referees give them. Did you see the decision last night in the? Who did they play?
Fleetwood,
yeah. Shocking red card. I mean, he's got his foot's high, but he pulls out the challenge. I just think in VAR, they're not giving it. Like, when you see some of the decisions that have seen in Prem recently that haven't been given as red cards, I just don't understand how you can give that as a red card. And none of the Fleetwood players seem to complain enough. Scott Brown walked straight off at half time. I just think, like, someone like Scott Brown, you'd think he'd be screaming at refs here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no point screaming at Vincent Kompany's turf more, is there? So the referee says he's only going to go one way, end of the day. So that's all the club matters dealt with. Moving on to big game, Saturday dinner. Sheffield United at home. It's going to be a biggie.
It is.
4,500 travelling fans.
Yeah, should make for good atmosphere. A lot on the line, really.
Yeah.
They obviously had a good win last night, but then again, Spursy, isn't it?
Very Spursy.
Very close.
I don't understand.
The 2023 vintage.
It's just, like, it, looking at the FA Cup draw and, like, the teams left in it, you'd think Spurs would be thinking, we need to, this is our year to win the FA Cup, like, or at least get to the final. And, like, if they'd have won last night, they'd have drawn us at home and they'd be thinking, oh, like, we're already in semis. And they just,
I did cross my mind, because everyone, like, keeps saying, like, Tottenham away is, like, the big away day everyone wants, like, cause obviously it's like the newest, like, big ground.
Yeah.
And the facilities are brilliant and all that.
Go-kart track. Still thinking about the bad news, aren't you?
On a more positive note, getting a go-kart track. So
you're still thinking about the bad news, aren't you?
But yeah, it did cross my mind when obviously Sheffield United came up. Sheffield United, huge win last night for them, but, you know, they have faltered in the league recently, so yeah.
Chance to close
the gap.
Once it got close to, like, full time last night, it was still 0-0. Thought could just do with them doing another half an hour against Spurs, because obviously we played the Tuesday, they played the Wednesday. I just thought any little advantage we could get before Saturday, we being an early kickoff as well. So if they go to extra time tonight, and then Kane had the free header in the last minute, I just thought if he scores that.
Yeah, I think one thing you said last night, that Sheffield United are away at Sunderland before they play us in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a marginal advantage, I suppose. You know, they have to travel up there on the Wednesday night, and we play. Do we play?
We both play on the Wednesday night. We play Reading at home, don't we?
Yeah, Reading's on Wednesday night as well. So,
yeah. So it's better for us to have Reading at home and then have Sunderland away. But yeah, it's a big chance on Saturday to close the gap to 6 points. What's your team for Saturday?
So, Robert's got Pers. I mean, Kaminsky's still out. So
the video of him training today. So he's back in training.
Back in training. So that's a big.
He'll be back after international break, won't he? That's another 4 weeks.
That's Pers. Left back.
Pickering played well choosing that.
Pickering. Right back. I mean. What's the update on Ryan Costello?
I've not heard anything yet. I think JDT made some neutral comments today to say that we'll see what Scan's saying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think Costello or Britain, it's not like you. I mean, Costello's playing out his skin at the minute, but I don't think you gain a lot more from Costello playing, but you don't lose as much from Britain playing.
I know what you mean. I think going forward, I think you lose quite a bit, but defensively, it's not like you're not worried.
No.
You know?
No. Not like when Niambi got injured and Bennett were playing right back.
Two centre halves.
Higham. Absolute class.
Yeah, brilliant one the other night. Carter.
Yep.
Midfield. I mean, Charlie picks himself at the minute, didn't he?
He was so good on Tuesday night. So good. So was Phillips when he came on. Carter and Phillips. Well, when he went to the fight back and Phillips and Carter came on, I thought they all did really well. And they were, for such a young lad to play in such a big occasion, there was one where I think the ball was coming over the top and it looked like Phillips was going to head it and he just got up in actual's ass. It's the only way I can say it, but like got up so that he couldn't chest it, and then he just lets Carter like win a free header behind her. I just think like for a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, however old he is now, to just have that experience and have that in a, such a big moment, like I think there were like 5 minutes left. Just love out like that, me. Who's alongside Travis? Buckley,
yeah. I think there are a few points on Tuesday night where Morton, you would have been looking for. There was a few occasions where you were looking for him to go and win the ball. It was there to be won. It was kind of like, you know, and Vale as well. Vale did the same thing.
There was one later on with Vale, we were screaming at him, weren't we? Like you were like jogging, meandering over towards the ball, and you wanted you wanted him to be like throwing his head at it. On floor.
Phil Jones.
His belly flopping onto the ball.
Right, so Travis and Buckley.
I thought Morton played well on Tuesday night. There were a couple moments in the second half, like three or four times give ball away in a row. And I think whether it was tired legs or just like not played for a bit and first start for a bit. And I thought, he needs to go off now. Travis, but he didn't play as bad as usual.
And then that front four maybe unchanged, but obviously Diaz comes back into the picture.
Thomas comes back into the picture.
Yeah. I mean, Smodics is another one that picks himself, I think. Galli doesn't deserve to be dropped after his performances recently. So Smodics, Galli up front, Dolan, right.
What, you're going Diaz instead of Thomas?
Diaz left, I think.
I'd stick Dolan on left still and play Thomas on right. I don't think. I think Thomas gives you a lot more in set pieces. And I just think the format, the five at the back they play just doesn't suit. Because obviously Diaz is going to have to beat a fullback and a centre back. To do his usual trick of cutting inside and skying it. it's a tough one. That's a problem when everyone's playing well. When your players that are injured are on the bench, they need to come back in eventually.
Yeah.
But you're almost like, someone has to get injured for someone to come back in when everyone's playing well, and you don't want anyone to get injured.
Speaking of the injured lads, how good were Dak and Diaz on commentary. It was in the.
I've not seen it.
Have you not?
I know. I've seen. I mean, I've seen it. It's on Twitter.
Yeah, watching it.
But I've not actually got around to watching it.
Start talking about that. Like, start whopping about random chat. Really.
What's up next? Quarterfinals. Yeah, there's. I think I saw.
There's like one clip where they were talking about like, what's that film? That one film. I was watching like Neil Yard. They just sat there like.
There's a bit where Neil were like talking like about some of the serious happening in the game. I can just see that tweet back like, go on, move it about, go on, do that.
Go on then.
That's like commentating. So yeah. Saturday, big game. 12:30 kickoff.
Yeah. Sky Sports Rovers. Tune in.
So yeah, that's us.
Actually, don't tune in. Get down to you.
Get down to you. £25 a ticket. Anyway, you're £10 ready. Mugger off. You're paying full whack for these two bad boys. And then we'll be back. We play every week, don't we? Do we not?
No, we don't.
Yeah. Might be back for a Stoke
game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go on, why not? Go on, why not? We'll have to get a guest on some stuff to talk about. If we lose, we're just not recording full stop. No, Rover's going to lose 3-0. Right, yeah, that's us done. Anything else you want to add before we finish?
I don't think so, no.
No.
Don't think so.
No. Going to Wembley.
Yeah.
We're on the march. Yeah. We're on the march. Right, cheers, everyone. I'll see you in a bit.
See you in a bit.
Podcast Network.